The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
It's my parents' fault, or it was my upbringing, or it's how I grew up, or it's the system, or I didn't have many friends when I was young. And God has none of that kind of stuff in His law. You are held responsible for your actions, and no one else is held responsible for you. And you are responsible for any damage you cause to anybody else's property, to make restitution for it.
Are you often looking to deflect blame for your own sins? In today's teaching, Pastor Dan will walk listeners through God's law given in Exodus 22, and how the core principle is taking responsibility for our actions. While we don't live according to the Old Testament law, it still provides valuable lessons for us to learn. The Lord knew back then and knows now that personal responsibility is a huge part of restoring what may have been broken. Where might you be able to confess and correct in your life? Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus chapter 22 for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to get into your word together. We thank you that your word is alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. And we thank you that it never returns void. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to your word. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be upon me to teach your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So remember, God gave Israel the Ten Commandments back in chapter 20. And then in this next section, right after the Ten Commandments that we're currently in, God gives what are called his judgments. If you look back at chapter 21, verse 1. Now, these are the judgments which you shall set before them. So after giving his Ten Commandments, God then gives his judgments. His judgments tell us the application of the Ten Commandments, or how to apply the Ten Commandments. In particular, he tells us the penalties for breaking the Ten Commandments. So God gave us the Ten Commandments, and then immediately after the Ten Commandments, he tells us what to do when someone breaks the Ten Commandments, which tells us what? God doesn't expect us to keep these commandments. He knows that we're going to break them. He knows that Israel will not keep his commandments. He knew that Israel would break his laws. God will also give them instructions regarding offerings that they could make to atone for their sins. So God gave his law and said, this is my standard of holiness. This is how I want you to live. And then immediately he gave the sacrifices for when they break the law. And God knows us so well, doesn't he? He knows that we fall short. He knows that we rebel against his commandments at times. And he knows that we need a way of atoning for our sin. God is not surprised to learn that you're a sinner. He's not surprised to learn that all we like sheep go astray, and we all turn to our own way. He knew that's how it would be with us. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus is described as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. before God made the world, before he created the heavens and the earth, before he created you and before he created me, he knew we would sin. He knew that we are prone to wander and rebel and do things that we're not supposed to do. And God knew that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for us on the cross, to take the punishment for our sins, to die in our place as our substitute, to reconcile us to God. The cross has always been God's plan of salvation for mankind. It wasn't an afterthought. So please understand, it's not like God gave his law and said, this is how I want you to live. And then they started breaking the law, and God said, oh, wait a minute. Here's some things you can do now that you're breaking the laws. Here's some sacrifices you can make. Now, he knew that this is how it would be. Now, in chapter 22, in this first section, we're given specific judgments regarding the eighth commandment. The eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. And so now he's going to give us some applications for that commandment. You shall not steal. The specific example that he gives in verse 1 involves the stealing of livestock. And so that probably doesn't directly apply to any of us here, maybe one or two of you. But the principle applies. The stealing of any kind of property from someone else. And so verse 1 says, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. So the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. The purpose of the eighth commandment is to protect personal property. God is concerned about our personal property. And so if a man steals an ox, I don't know how you would steal an ox, but if a man steals an ox or if a man steals a sheep and slaughters it for the steaks or the lamb chops or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for that one ox and 4 sheep for that one sheep. And so the penalty was greater for the theft of an ox. And the penalty was greater for the theft of an ox because ox were more valuable in that society. It was an agrarian society. They were farmers. Ox were used like tractors today on a farm. Ox also required a certain amount of training to know how to, you know, pull a plow and tread out the grain and all of that. And so a well-trained ox was not easily replaced. And so ox were more valuable. They were a greater investment of money. They were a greater investment of time. So if a man steals an ox and then they sell it, like on Craigslist, I guess, is where you would sell an ox. I don't know. Or if he slaughters it for the meat and if he's caught, he's got to pay back 5 oxen for that one ox. Again, an ox is like a tractor. So it's like buying 5, you know, John Deere tractors for that one tractor that you stole. Or if he steals a sheep, he's got to pay back 4 sheep for stealing one sheep. And the penalty was intentionally steep to hopefully deter people from stealing ox or stealing sheep. Now, if you remember, when David sinned with Bathsheba, and then Nathan the prophet confronted David about his sin with Bathsheba, Nathan confronted David about his sin by telling David a fictitious story about a man who owned a little lamb. But David didn't know it was a fictitious story. He thought it was a real story about somebody in his kingdom. And Nathan tells him this story about a man. He owns one little lamb that he loves. And there's this other guy who owns a whole flock of sheep. And the other guy steals the one lamb from the man and slaughters it and eats it for dinner. And David is outraged by this. And David, it says, this is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 5. It says, so David's anger was greatly aroused against the man in the story, and he said to Nathan the prophet, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for that lamb, because he did this thing, because he had no pity. David said he should restore fourfold for that lamb that he stole. Where did David get that from? He got that from Exodus chapter 22, verse 1. David also said, the man shall be put to death, which is not a requirement in the law. David added the death penalty because he's so outraged by what this man has done. And remember what Nathan said to him? David, you're the man. You did it when you stole Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. You're the man, David. Not like you're the man, like you're the man. Isn't it interesting how strongly we can condemn our own sin when we see it in somebody else's life, right? We can get outraged. They deserve death. It's the plank in our own eye, and we're outraged by the speck in our brother's eye. And so David, you know, references back to this law in Exodus chapter 22. Also in the New Testament, if you remember the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus, we're told, is the chief tax collector in Israel, and that he was very rich, and he became very rich by overcharging people for their taxes. And then in Luke chapter 19, Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house for dinner, which I think is pretty neat of Jesus to do. Like, he just invites himself to someone's house for dinner. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house tonight for dinner. What are we having? And so Zacchaeus says to Jesus, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Where did Zacchaeus get that idea? Exodus chapter 22. What was Zacchaeus saying? I'm a thief. I've made my riches by stealing from people and robbing people. Zacchaeus saw himself as a thief.
You're listening to Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton of Calvary Chapel, Ellicott City, Maryland. We'll return to the second half of today's message in a moment. But first, here's a word from Pastor Dan.
It's my privilege to share the Word of God with you through our radio ministry, Ring of Truth. Thank you for tuning in each day. Hey, I would love to hear from you. Will you take a moment to email me to tell me how these daily studies have ministered to you? I want to hear your story. You can email me through our website at calvaryec.com. That's calvaryec.com.
Thanks, Pastor Dan. Now let's join him again for the conclusion of today's edition of Ring of Truth.
And so, going on into verse 2, if the thief is found, so this is the guy who steals your sheep or your ox, if he's found breaking in, and the idea here is he's breaking in at night, and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. Remember how Jesus said the thief breaks in at night, right? And that was to store up our treasure in heaven, where the thief does not break in and steal, and where rust does not destroy, right? Remember how he said that he's going to return for his church as a thief in the night, at an hour when you least expect? And here, in this law, this judgment, this statute, if the thief is found breaking in, and it's at nighttime. Now, if you're taking notes, that word breaking in, it's literally digging in or digging through. In ancient times, houses were often made of mud bricks, and had a thatched roof. Remember the paralytic that they lowered down through the roof? They tore the roof off of the house. And so if this thief is digging through to enter into the house, he's digging through the mud wall of the house, or he's digging through the roof of the house to break in. And if that thief is found breaking into your house, and it's nighttime, so it's the middle of the night, it's dark, you can't see because it's dark, and you kill the intruder, it's justifiable homicide. You're within your rights to protect your home and to protect your family from an intruder that's breaking into your house. at night. Now, this is according to God's word. I don't know what Maryland statutes are. So if you kill somebody that's breaking into your house at night, don't mention my name, please. You need to call a lawyer, not a pastor at that point. But many states have what are called castle laws. Your home is your castle. You have a right to protect your castle. And that's not considered murder if you do that. But he goes on here in verse 3, if the sun has risen on him, so it's daytime when this happens now, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So if someone is breaking into your house or breaking into your barn at night or during the daytime, that's a different story. It's daytime. It's light out now. You can see. Your family's not asleep. You can tell if the guy's got a weapon or not. You can tell if he's there to harm you, or is he just trying to steal one of your ox? The neighbors possibly could assist you in apprehending the thief without killing him. You can at least maybe identify him, you know, as somebody that you recognize. And so in that case, the thief has a right to live. And if you kill him in daylight, you're guilty of his bloodshed. Look at verse 3 again. The thief shall make full restitution of what he stole and the damage he caused to your property or your house. And if he cannot afford to make restitution, he shall be sold as a slave. Remember, we talked about slavery, and the slavery in the Bible is nothing like the slavery that we had in the United States. The slavery in the Old Testament, it was a way of working off a debt that you couldn't afford to pay. It was temporary. It lasted for 6 years. And then in the seventh year, you went free. And during that time of your servitude, you were trained by the master. You acquired the skills that you needed to be a productive member of society. And then when you were released in the seventh year, your master gave you some of his own livestock and some of his own crops to help get you established on your own so you don't have to go back to crime going forward so that you can provide for yourself. You don't have to go back to robbing houses. And so a thief had to make full restitution to the person they stole from. Or if he could not make that restitution, or his family could not afford to make a full restitution, then he was sold into slavery to work for 6 years to make the restitution. Now, understand that there were no jails at that time. There were no prisons back then. People weren't incarcerated for their crimes. Very different from today. They made full restitution to the victim they stole from. And today, as you know, in our system, a person may be incarcerated for their crime and not be required to make any kind of financial restitution to the person that they victimized. And so incarceration doesn't really compensate the victim for their loss or their damaged property. You know, if someone breaks into my house and causes thousands of dollars worth of damage breaking into my home, they may go to jail or they may get probation, but I don't get any money to make the repairs to my house. I'm just out of luck. In God's system required people, and this is important, God's system required people to take personal responsibility. Personal responsibility for their actions. And make full restitution for any loss they caused. Personal responsibility for your actions is a major theme in God's law. Now, we live in a time, as you know, when people do not take personal responsibility for their actions. And people like to blame others for their actions. You know, it's my parents' fault, or it was my upbringing, or it's how I grew up, or it's the system, or I didn't have many friends when I was young. And God has none of that kind of stuff in his law. You are held responsible for your actions, and no one else is held responsible for you. And you are responsible for any damage you cause to anybody else's property, to make restitution for it. Now, it says in verse 4, it goes on, if the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, so the guy stole your ox, he stole your sheep or whatever, and you catch him red-handed, whether it's an ox or a donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. So in this case, in contrast to verse 1, in verse 1, he slaughtered your ox or he sold it. There, he's going to pay back five oxen or four sheep. Here, you catch him red-handed. He still has the ox or the donkey or the sheep. Well, he's got to pay back double. He's got to give you your ox back and buy you another ox and give that to you. That's a pretty good deal. If a man, verse 5, causes a field or a vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animal and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution, notice, from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. Again, we see personal responsibility. You are responsible for your livestock. You are responsible for where they graze. And you have the responsibility of keeping your livestock in your yard and out of your neighbor's yard, out of your neighbor's field or vineyard. If you're taking notes, if you remember back in Genesis chapter 46, verse 34, when Joseph's family goes down to Egypt to live with Joseph, it says that that shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. Shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. Why did the Egyptians hate shepherds so much? Because the Egyptians were farmers. They had farmland. The Nile River Delta was fertile farmland. And shepherds shepherd sheep. And sheep will devour your crops. And so the Egyptians did not like shepherds and did not like sheep. And so the Egyptians saw them as an abomination because they knew a flock of sheep can come in and wipe out your crops very quickly. And that's why when Joseph's family went down to Egypt, remember, Pharaoh had them live over in Goshen, separated from the rest of the Egyptians, away from all the farmland. You guys go live out there with your sheep and keep your sheep away from our farms. So if you owned livestock, you had a responsibility to keep your livestock out of someone else's field or vineyard. You couldn't make excuses if your livestock got loose. You couldn't say, "Well, I didn't know my sheep got loose and went out into your field. I had no idea that they were loose." You couldn't say, "Well, you left your gate open. If you would have shut your gate, my sheep couldn't have gotten into your yard. But because you left your gate open, that's how they got it. It's your fault because you left your gate open." Now, you have to take personal responsibility. You have to take personal responsibility for your animals. If you're a pet owner, take responsibility for your animals. Don't assume that people that don't have pets want your pet coming up to them and licking them. That drives me crazy. "Oh, he's just going to lick you. This is why I don't own dogs. Because I don't want a dog licking me. And you're volunteering your dog to lick me." Or clean up after your pet. Don't let your pet go into someone else's property.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the
Thank you for spending a part of your day with us here at Ring of Truth. You've just heard a message from Pastor Dan Sexton in the book of Exodus. There's a lot we can learn from this and other books in the Bible. In fact, if you visit our website, calvaryec.com, you'll find a treasure trove of other messages, all neatly organized in a simple, straightforward manner. We encourage you to camp out here for a while and soak your spirit in the truth of God's Word. Is there anything you would like us to pray for? We'd love to intercede in prayer on your behalf. Please locate the prayer tab at the top of our homepage, calvaryec.com, and send in your prayer request through the form you find there. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, too. We're also just a phone call away if you're not in Maryland. Call us at 410-491-4592. We'd love to hear what's going on in your life. Again, that's 410-491-4592. Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? If so, please visit calvaryec.com to learn how. We hope that today's teaching has been encouraging to your faith. Come back again next time for more in the book of Exodus. Until next time, we hope you have a blessed day and are reminded of the things learned today. This has been Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft and am. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.